Well, the boss called me up and said, come in to work. I just hung up on that slave-driving jerk.
And now it's time for expert analysis from the best in the game.
This is Be She's Wrestling
with Mike Davidson.
I'm a former producer of wrestling, and I had to tell people, here's what I need in a promo, here's what I need in a match, and here's why you have to do it. You tried to be cute, you tried to be clever, and you came off undervaluing the guy the promoter is paying thousands of dollars to get into the ring with you.
Special guest star, the Mecca, Shane Madison.
Jealousy is something that the Mecca Shane Madison has had to deal with my entire life.
It doesn't matter, because I guarantee that the Mecca will win.
And producer Chris.
He's just a money-making machine, that guy. As somebody who's featured regularly on their program, I don't think he's going to be able to take enough time away from his other adventures. The guy is a mogul.
And now,
She's Wrestling.
You know, they say we've done this show about two... Some people will say we've done this show about 2 years too long. If you had told me at the beginning of this ride that we'd get to 100 episodes, I would have said, you're crazy. The amount of times where it was like, oh, we'll get to 1 year. Okay, we'll renew for a second year. We're coming up on our second year anniversary in four episodes, but the big 100 is today. It is the 100th episode of Bees, She's Wrestling. And if I'm not myself, it's because I finally climbed a mountain. And I finally don't say 95% sure.
Oh, what percent?
Where are we at this week for episode 100? Is there a big announcement today?
Well,
beginning of the week. It's Monday.
I would big say this. To start off the week. We are 100% going to go.
100.
100% a go.
So it is happening.
May the 16th in Winnipeg.
We have a date.
Wrestling United. And that I'm going to talk about that name today. Wrestling United will happen. The Franco-Manitoba Cultural Center. It's going to be a fun night.
Profile venue.
Yes.
There it is.
It is. We're happy with the venue.
No kidding.
There's so many things that went into this. So when I said 95% last week, trust me, there were days I woke up and thought, I am clinging to the five.
Could you ever foresee a time during episode one?
No.
When you said, if you get to 100, you'll be running a show?
No. No. And in fact,
unbelievable.
Yeah. Chris, you've been with me the entire ride.
I'm sorry.
And you've been with me the entire... There was a point in time in February to April of 2023 where I was pretty sure I wanted to, and then I didn't.
Yeah.
I probably talked to you.
I remember that.
You might have talked me out of it. And then what happened this time was, first and foremost, and if I say it on the podcast, there's some people who say, well, if we take you at your word, Mike Davidson, well, if I say it on the podcast, I'm saying it to hundreds of people who listen. And so I'm being honest with every single person who takes the time to listen.
Plus, if you're lying, we'll basically call you out on your shit.
And not to mention in about seven episodes, people say, hey, and I'll say, well, things change. Well, here it is today, the honest to God's truth. It is.
I didn't expect this for episode 100.
Yeah, me neither. He's letting it all out.
We're starting this off with a bang.
I don't do this to compete because, to be very honest, I don't think I can outdo what some people do. I don't to sit there and go into this and say I'm going to be better than anybody would be foolish. And something that Eric Bischoff always says when he's talked about TNA and his time in TNA, and he talks about AEW, he says, "Don't assume you will be better than." But don't accept that you will be less than. But you can embrace being different then. Mm-hmm. And so that's how this sort of came about. And you were around when the idea started. And what ended up happening was we would talk about different things. And the idea that I was out of touch and couldn't do my homework and get caught up.
Or put your money where your mouth is.
Or put my money where my mouth was. Where people were like, oh, in theory... That's a great idea, but in reality, it won't work. And they might be right.
Yep.
I could fail, but if I'm going to fail, at least I try. Because not trying, you're failing. And so what ended up happening was, it was you and I were talking about, well, I can't remember what we were talking about. It was off air. And I said, well, I would present this like this and da, 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 like a real know-it-all.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finally realized, rather than say what I would do, maybe step up and try doing it. Mm-hmm. And I don't do this to compete. I am not interested. And I have way too much respect for the people who are doing it. Even Primos, who had a great their venue for Fast Times at Primos High.
On Thursday night.
Yeah, that church was amazing.
Unreal.
Yep.
Super nice.
So I'm not doing it to compete with anybody. What I am doing, and what me, it's not just me, it's a team. There's a we. What we are doing is we are going to try to run a show that is a best effort. That's what I want to say. It's our best effort. It's what we had in front of us at our disposal and how we would put it together. And it is exciting. It is challenging. It is, but so somebody said Wrestling United. You can't say you're going to unite everybody because that makes you, you know, don't think you can do that. No. So initially it was like, oh, if I got somebody from First Wrestling and I got someone from Top Talent Wrestling and I got somebody from this company, that company, that company, and we all did it together, it would be a united effort. But then I thought about it a different way.
Yeah.
People who love wrestling, fans, podcasters like us, bookers, wrestlers, people who talk about it. If we all come together, which WPW has already done, but if we all come together, it's a united effort to do something good. And it's not to screw with anybody. It's not to affect harmony. You're not going to see me go out there and try to piss off another promoter. It's about putting out a great product. And the wrestlers that wrestle are going to know that the promoter, the office, did their best, much like they do every, hopefully they think that every time they show up for a booking. So it's going to be an effort. It's going to have a vision. And one thing I knew from the Beesheezers who reached out to me nonstop and said, you got to do it. You've hinted it. You've teased it. Yeah. You know, we're not going to look at you the same if you back off after you've gotten this far. So
Wow. It
is happening Thursday night, and Winnipeg has a rich history of Thursday night wrestling. In fact, if we run multiple shows, and there's a very good chance after I bought that American Wrestling ring, brand new, that we'll run more than one show. It'll be what the fan base dictates. And if I think it's oversaturated, there is that risk. If I think it's oversaturated, I might be the first guy who says, okay, I'm going to back out. But I'm not in it to make fans make a tough choice. I'm not in it to, you know, if you want to come see a great wrestling show, we're trying to put on a great wrestling show. We look forward to seeing you May 16th, Thursday night. And there will be a YouTube page, or there will be a Facebook page. And so an Instagram page and a Twitter X page, as you see me trying to embrace what people call it nowadays.
Yes.
There will be all of that. And
do you have wrestlers on the show?
You're wrestling on the show.
I know I'll be on the show.
I've already wrestlers.
I hope you have more than me, because that'll be won't be much of a show.
Producer Chris versus the Mecca Shane Madison.
As a matter of fact, I do. But I'm not going to tell you.
Okay.
Every wrestler today.
Okay.
Not because I haven't booked enough guys, but because I want some suspense today. But before the end of the show, before the end of today, I will tell you somebody we booked that I think I was pretty happy that we were able to come to an agreement.
So to reiterate, Thursday, May the 16th, Wrestling United debuts at the Franco-Manitoban.
Yep.
You have a brand new ring.
Yes.
You have booked somebody who I'm assuming, it sounds like it's a big name.
I would say.
Okay.
Somebody that, actually, it's an amazing story. I contacted him. I'll tell you that at the end of the show.
Yes.
Let's save it. Let's talk about our counterparts, the guys that are doing
Primos. Great.
Primos had their show Fast Times at Primos High.
And thank you to the fans who sent in kind of a picture of it. It looked great in there.
Yes.
Nice venue.
Yeah, somebody
Where sent, was that venue?
That is, the church is called, it's on Stradbrook. I don't remember what the church is called.
Okay.
It's in Osborne Village.
It's a United Church.
Yeah. Okay.
And they've had concerts and, yeah.
Wow. I wonder how they found that place.
Maybe they went to a wedding there or a funeral. I don't know.
It's quite a venue, though.
Yeah, it's a great venue. Chris, maybe you can look up what the venue is called, which church it is.
Sure.
But they had Billy Blaze and Bobby Schenk advertised as the main event. And I have to say this. I said that their company was run running like a tire fire a few months ago. And like, we're talking probably February, I think. No, January, I said this, because it was when we thought they were going to try to come back and do Super Bowl Sunday. And their last show at the Pyramid. You got it?
Fort Rouge United Church.
Fort Rouge United Church. Thank you. So I said that they were kind of running like a tire fire. And in some ways, maybe they were. And we don't know exactly what happened at Fast Times at Primos High because we haven't got the reports. We are podcasting while they're doing their show. But I can tell you this. Billy Blaze, the booker, has done a really good job of trying to instill some structure and create a level of credibility. And because before it was like, you had player one doing things and put himself, everyone knows he's the promoter, putting him in tag teams and stuff like that. And I thought, okay, you can do better than this.
Yeah.
And I think Billy Blaze is doing a great job of establishing a little bit better than that.
It's almost like they've taken a step back and they were like kind of in your face with a bunch of stupidity. And they kind of went, okay, hold on. We're going to take a step back.
Yeah.
And I chill out, regroup, figure it out.
I think it was unintentional stupidity too. Mm-hmm. I think it was a case where they're maybe in over their head making a few mistakes. And I think Billy was the right guy to, and he's been the booker now for probably three or four shows. He did the program with Adam Knight. So I think he's getting the most out of what he's got, which is great. Every booker needs to do that because everyone works on a budget.
And when is their next, when is their collectible store opening in Grant Park Shopping Center? Do you guys?
See if I looked that up.
Yeah, that's soon because Buff Bagwell's appearing on
June 20th.
Yeah, June 20th, which I think is a Friday.
Okay.
I'll look that day.
I was going to ask you, are you going to go down and meet your old buddy?
Mac Davidson. It's possible. It's a Thursday, June 20th. I like Buff a lot.
Yeah.
You saw his Dark Side of the Ring.
I saw the Terry Gordy Dark Side this
week, too. I have not watched Terry Gordy yet.
I'm behind on that one, but I did watch Buff, and Buff was really good.
Yeah, Buff was ridiculous. It was awesome.
Yeah, but that's how Buff was. Yeah. Like
Mac!
Yeah.
Mac Davidson. Like,
June 1st in Grant Park Mall.
Okay, so, so that's kind of like a grand opening with Buff Bagwell.
Second location too.
I wouldn't be surprised if they don't take Buff on some shows.
Well, you need to give him a Bee Shees T-shirt too.
Listen, I might go down and see him. I probably will reach out to him, knowing he's coming to town. But at the same time, I don't want to just infringe on a promoter that's paying to bring him in, right?
Yeah.
So I will reach out to Buff. He's my friend, or he was my friend, and tell him that it's great that he's coming up. I think it's great. CWE has been all over Ontario with Savio Vega.
Mm-hmm.
They did Thunder Bay on Saturday. They were in Sudbury and Sault Ste. Marie and all their cities in northwestern Ontario.
Yeah, the feedback's been really good. Houses have been really good. Savio Vega has been very helpful, and he's working real hard.
It's an interesting formula that they use where they get these guys that are like – legendary and come in, and it's like they've got a fresh lease on life to be going on a tour that's so long. And Shane Douglas did it, and now Savio, before that Jacques Rougeau, Ultimo Dragon.
But think about it this way, they're also using a lot of local talent, like say Southern Ontario talent, right? So CWE brings in Savio Vega, they bring him to Southern Ontario. Now there's a whole different crew of wrestlers who get to benefit from having Savio Vega in that locker room, just like Shane Douglas going to Alberta. They use some Alberta talent. There's Alberta wrestlers who are benefiting from Shane Douglas. So overall, I think it's making the Canadian market way stronger, and the talent is getting, you know, shined up and polished.
It's almost like they've got different chapters. They've got the chapter for Ontario. They got the chapter for Western Canada. They've got some Saskatchewan guys.
Yeah.
Very smart the way Danny Duggan does it. I'm a big fan. I'm also a big fan of WPW. They sold out in 85 minutes for a fight at the museum. We talked about that last week. Then they announced Rec Room, which is taking place
April 14th.
April 14th. All ages, they're really pushing the family-friendly aspect. Tickets went on sale Friday. I'm going to assume it's sold out, and if not, it's probably within a smidge of a sellout.
Yeah.
WPW, they're on fire too. They're bringing back Nikita, who's one of the most attractive female wrestlers in all of Canada. Well done, Devin and Ben. Good choice.
And how about I'm facing Mikey, or formerly known as Mikey Miracle, but Jackson Conway.
The Miracle.
Jackson Conway. Yeah. That's what he's going to need if he's going to beat
me. That's for CWE in Landmark, Manitoba. What's the date on that
March the 30th.
And then you're in Amaranth. What's the date in Amaranth?
April 20th.
April
20th. Myself against Josh Cheeks Holiday. Two first time ever matches.
You know, it's amazing because in pro sports, there's draft picks and there's first, second, third round picks. I look at Cheeks right now and I think he's like the maturing first round draft pick. He went through the draft. He developed through AJ's training school. His work has been phenomenal.
Yeah, he's getting a lot of positive reviews.
And he's such a good baby face.
And a nice guy.
Yep. Great
and
guy.
And works hard, too.
Yeah, like he deserves it all. Mm-hmm. But you think there's so many guys like that kicking around right now in the Winnipeg scene. You know, Sammy Peppers, Bryce Bentley, Chad Daniels, who's Winnipeg-based and amazingly talented. Great heel, great baby face. James Roth.
Can't wait to beat him.
James Roth is a part of that group, and Bobby Schenk is also part of that group. And, you know, the last 7 or 8 years, Winnipeg has produced a plethora of great talent, and
more on the way.
And you've got some interesting guys coming back too, like to your point, Jackson Conway coming back. I mean, that's a guy that was really good, and it's like he's got a new coat of paint on him because I've seen a couple of his clips, and I'm like, it's like he has never left.
I know. He looks good. I mean,
and there's just guys like that that are coming out of Ronnie Attitude and coming out of the woodwork from the past that are really stepping up.
There's a guy who's been super valuable to the team. Right, like Ronnie Attitude.
Always has been.
Yeah,
go back to 2002. Go back to 2001. Yeah. Ronnie has always been your epitome of team player.
And the funny thing is with Ronnie, I know CWE was begging him to come back. Do the Rumble. No.
Yeah.
Do the Rumble. No. Every year. Years and years and years and years. He said no. And he came back and he just like, man, this is fun. He's on like almost every show now.
Yeah. He's traveling with the company.
He's loving it.
I saw a picture of Johnny Malibu.
Yep.
That you actually showed me.
Yep.
Man, is he? He's got to be. He's older than me, I think, but not by much.
Yeah, he is. He's older than me.
Okay, so he's So I'm not going to say an age, but wow, he's looking better than he ever looked.
Yep.
And there's guys who are getting a second lease, and then Easy Rider is still. You know, I call him the ageless ass kicker because he's, I don't know how old he is, but I still wouldn't fight him with a baseball bat if I was armed. Like he would still kick my ass. And that's, you know, he's still got it. Like I watched some of his matches or clips of matches with Leon Lacombo from the last tour. And I was like, you know, Easy's not missing a step. And that's the use of the depth that CWE has done. AJ Sanchez is still there. Kevin Cannon.
It's also nice when you see like, you know, I talked last week about going to the training center and I went there and like, I get there a little bit late and a guy like Sammy Peppers, who's still pretty new and he's kind of, AJ's run a little late. So Sammy Peppers is kind of warming up the trainees and like really showing like his leadership to that new crop. So it just continues to roll on. So it's a really cool time
outside,
to be a part.
Outside of the business, Sammy Peppers is a genius. Like his business acumen and his, he's schooled, so he's educated, and he's an extremely smart guy, and I think that translates into his success in wrestling.
There's not many people like that, right, who are like have like other stuff going on outside of wrestling. So it's nice when you have somebody who has something else going on because that really translates well.
This is the best formula. This is the best formula I've ever seen, though, in terms of good talent that's taking it very seriously, that's chasing opportunity, that's working hard, that's taking it seriously, and then fan base that's buying tickets in droves, which is leading to a successful recipe. It's a perfect recipe right now. And it's the fans are always the most important part of this, is how do you engage the fans? How do you keep the fans? How do you generate the relationship with fans? The talent, the caliber of shows and the talent has done their part. The fans are doing their part, and it's a perfect recipe right now. I can't say enough about it. What do we have for time, producer Chris?
We're at 18 minutes.
18 minutes. Do you have anything you want to ask me or tell me? What's your favorite memory of the first 100 episodes?
Oh, my God.
I shot this on him.
He did. First 100 episodes. Well, I've got a memory like a goldfish, but I, I actually didn't mind, and most people did not like this, and I don't even know if you like this, but when we used to review heels.
Oh, yes.
that it was a very specific taste. Let's just say that.
I fast-forwarded through that.
Yeah, a lot of people, because they were long. The reviews were long.
I still haven't seen it.
It was too hard to condense it down because you lost so much nuance in the story, so we eventually bailed on it, but I mean, I enjoyed doing that.
Yeah.
Another favorite memory is when Bishi's almost ended.
I was going to say that.
Yes, our argument. Yeah, that's the Mecca's favorite.
That was my favorite. Well, not my favorite, but that was my most memorable for sure.
Yes.
Okay.
You two guys getting into a fist fight at the end of the episode.
We went to a break and it was bad, and then we had to finish the episode.
Yeah, we did. We had like 15 minutes left.
Yeah, like it was a tough one.
It was done for 2 or 3 days after that.
It was close call. Yeah.
Yeah. I shut it down. I was like, I'm not listening to, I muted Mike.
We were about 60 episodes in when that happened.
And then so. I muted you as well. Cause I was like, not because I had a problem with you, but I was like, yeah. Mike's just going to get him to get me.
And, don't need to see it.
No, yeah. I just tried to give you space and respect and hope that it would all fall into place. Yeah.
We'll tell that story. Maybe that'll be a dark side of the Beeshees.
Yeah. That was about episode 60 and yeah. It was just a bad, something went a little awry. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Things, yeah, heated tempers. And your favorite memory?
That was it. That was my most memorable.
Do you know what? I have a couple memories that I wanted to talk about before the first break. I remember we had Gary Michael Capetta on.
Oh,
and if you listen to the interview, it's a conversation between me and Capetta, and Chris doesn't say much, if anything, in the whole interview.
Okay.
But there was something you said in it. You said, "Do you ever go to the drive-thru and just do your ring announcer voice?" And Gary just deadpanned him and said, no.
Yeah, I was like, do you ever use it in real life just for fun? Just bring it out at the library or when you're at the drive-thru? No, not at all. Just like, just sandbag me. Like.
Yeah. And here I was thinking he would say, yeah, when I go to McDonald's, I'll say, I'll have a Big Mac. You know, Gary Michael Capetta's claim to fame, and it lasted till the last match of Sting's career, he was the guy who started the "This is Sting."
Yes. Yes.
Intro. Yeah. And that was started around 93 or 92, apparently. Might have been 91.
Yeah, I think maybe 91.
Yeah, but because he had to think about, he used to be from Venice Beach, California, Stinger or whatever they would say.
How did he go? He would go, coming down the aisle from Venice Beach, California, weighing 265 pounds. This is Sting, something like that.
We're gonna have to ask him if that's accurate.
Well, you know, I did talk to Gary this week to see if he would, you know, come on the show and talk briefly and wish us well. But unfortunately, he needs to be called on Thursday when we're doing this. He couldn't do it, but
he's been called.
Okay. I also remember Greg Gagne. And a great interview we had with Greg.
Loose Lips Greg.
Yeah.
That was really fun.
Well, it was funny because he said,
I had no idea what was going to happen.
He said, tell us who do you guys think we should get for Power Town Series 2? And we named off a few guys and he said, oh, interesting.
He's taking notes.
He's like, yeah, well, we can't tell you. And then he rattled off like literally 35 or 40 names. And it's like, okay, well, there you go. And some of those guys have shown up in their Remco series and I think they have a second Power Town series coming up, too. And they've got the TNA contract, too.
Yeah, so. those Remcos look pretty good, actually. I saw Tito Santana with his, like, 1987.
You like that, hey?
I mean, I don't mind it. I mean, and they're Missing like He-Mans.
Yeah, yep. And Missing Link, and they have Bobo Brazil, and they have Magnum TA and Tully Blanchard in the I Quit match.
I still want the Midnight.
Isn't the Rock and Roll Express might be in that Remco series, are they?
I think R&R, I believe, I don't know if it's been done yet, but I think he said something along the lines of like, that's going to happen.
Yeah, I thought I saw one. Anyway.
They might be.
I wonder why they changed the Remco, like Remco style.
Because they got back the Remco name that had been abandoned.
Okay.
And that was the name that they used when they did the AWA series with the Road Warriors and
Shawn Michaels.
Shawn was in that?
He was in it. If you can find Shawn Michaels' glasses from that Remco, they're worth big bucks.
How big?
I don't know, like a lot of money.
There you go.
Okay.
And we've had other people on too. We had Eugene on in the very early stages of the show. We had Tony Candelo's been on twice. Wayne Stanton.
Yep.
Who am I missing? Vance Nevada.
Vance Nevada, your best buddy.
Scotty Mack.
Still no Adam Knight.
No.
Is the invitation still open for Adam
Knight? It's always open to Adam Knight. Anytime he wants to come on and promote himself, we're here to help him.
Hey, let's make a prediction. Do we get to episode 200?
Without Adam Knight? Or just in general?
Well, in general, and then with Adam Knight.
If we make it 2 more years, see, there's so many things I'm proud of from the first.
I don't know if I could put up with you guys for another 2 more years.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I don't know that we have the stamina to go 2 more years.
Because this is tough, right? It's tough to do. Like, it's tough because we've talked about it. Like, we're just trying to have some fun.
Yeah.
Right? But, man, people take this stuff seriously.
Well, because...
And that makes it not fun.
Well, the last month or so, you can't be constructively, like...
Okay. We can't talk about a lot of stuff that really we should be talking about because people's feelings get hurt.
Yeah.
It's basically what it is.
And it's like, we're not in it to do that. Like, when I used to say, hey, something they may want to think about is try doing this, it was because if they try doing this, it might make their business stronger. It wasn't, hey... You're an idiot for not doing this, or hey, you're not doing well with business for not doing this. Hey, I used to believe you can't have wrestlers at merch tables. I've done a lot of homework talking to wrestlers saying, okay, why does it work? I still have I have two different opinions on it. Mm-hmm. And one opinion is, for the sake of the pop, when the guy comes out, if he comes out only once, you'll get a bigger pop.
Yeah.
But I also know that there is a value to, there are fans that love walking in and being able to say hello to their favorite wrestler that they're supporting. So I see it both ways. And that's not me changing.
Yeah.
It is me changing a little bit, but it's me being more open to what the premise is behind it. Right.
And there's me. It's like, for me, it's like, you know, there's times where it's like, man, this whole wrestling thing, it's just, it's starting to be not fun anymore. Right. Sometimes I get that.
Yeah.
And it's just, when it's not going to be fun, I'm just not going to do it. Right.
See,
but then I say, no, it's people trying to make it not fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm like, no, I'm not going to give in to that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what I think what we do here is good.
Yes.
I think it is for the, but I think like guys like FTR, they had their podcast. They're like, oh, we're causing heat, so we got to stop the podcast. And I'm like,
everything they were saying was like spot on too.
Yeah. But like, I mean, I never listened to it. So like, again, like, we're not trying to cause heat. We're just talking about what's going on. It's not everybody's cup of tea. And if it's not, you know, don't give yourself the aggravation. Listen, I guess.
Yeah,
that's
but
my advice.
What has been amazing, and I'll tell you why we are still doing it, and we may continue to do it for another 100 or 200 episodes, I'll tell you, is the people who make us a part of their Monday morning.
Yeah.
The people who are like, I want to hear what they're going to say this week.
Yeah.
And they know that we aren't setting out to cause grievances and promote heat. Like when we said a lot of people said, oh, you attacked Primo's a little hard. Yeah. But realistically, there was things they were doing that they needed. You can't hide from it.
And we're not fans.
Yeah.
We're in the business. Yeah, like we've done this for 25 years.
Yeah.
Like we know
for me, I took 15 off, but
yeah, but like, you're still like involved in the business.
Exactly.
Right? And just because I didn't wrestle for 10 years doesn't mean I wasn't doing anything in wrestling.
And my phone was on, they could call me and get advice or run things past me. Some people do. There are people that run things past me all the time, and I think it's great. And I hope they continue to do it.
Well, to your point, Mecca, about it, people taking the fun out of it, that's why I've moved back to Winnipeg a long time ago now.
Yeah.
And I stayed completely away from the local industry because I just didn't want the headache. I didn't want that. And Mike can attest, it probably took him 2 months of asking
it was actually, I asked you once and then you said no, and then I gave it another 6 months and I asked you again. You seemed a little bit more open, and then it was like, okay, we'll talk every couple of weeks and get it done.
Yeah, and like I was resistant because I know what you're talking about. I know where the people can make it not fun anymore.
Right.
And I mean, this is difficult to do. Like Mike's point was, it's difficult to do. We have to find time, all of us in our schedules, to get together to do this, to come up with what we're going to talk about. And then I've got to find time to edit it and get it uploaded at a certain time. All this sort of stuff that people don't realize, it's consistent effort.
And you know what the thing is, though?
That's why we get Walmart ads on our podcast.
Yeah. There is not one
consistency.
There is not one fan who said to us, hey, that show sucks. That's what the people, when I had the meeting with, and people were like, why are you doing this? Why do you say so? The fans don't tell us, hey, we don't like this. That's the thing.
I love it when people say, well, why are you guys doing the podcast? What do you get out of it? Yeah. And I would counter with, well, why are you wrestling locally? Are you going to WWE?
Yeah.
So no. Well, so why are you wrestling then?
Yeah. Like, we're creating content. We're having a discussion. And
well, more importantly, it's three people sitting around shooting the
shees
about wrestling. And that's what we're all here for. We're all here to enjoy wrestling, have fun, and just talk about what's going on.
This episode of She's Wrestling is powered by First Row Collectibles, Canada's online and in-person collectible store, where you'll find the coolest sports cards, autographs from your favorites, and of course, wrestling collectibles galore. As a loyal Bees She's Wrestling listener, you can get a discount on your purchase using the code Bees She's. That code is BEEZSHEEZ, one word, to get 10% off. Visit the store online, firstrow.ca, or instead of click and order, go brick and mortar. Meet the guys at First Row in person, 1835 Main Street, Winnipeg, Manitoba. First Row Collectibles, Canada's online and in-person collectible store.
Good morning, gents. Sean Brown here. Just want to say congratulations on 100 episodes. Chris Neon, Dion Maxwell, you keep putting in your 2 cents where it's not needed. Jeez Wheeze, the Mecca Hall, Shane Madison, way to keep shamelessly putting yourself over at all costs. And the original stooge, Mike Davidson, you're still out of touch, but you guys are doing a phenomenal job. Here's to 100 episodes and 100 more. Congratulations, boys.
Hey, fellas. Congrats on 100 episodes. That's a huge milestone. I look forward to every Monday morning listening to the new episode of Bee Shees, seeing what you guys have to say. Mike, I think it's about time you let Mecca tell that Jay Rockne story. It's been a long time coming, and it's at this point pretty highly anticipated, I think we all want to hear it. Again, congrats, fellas, on 100.
Scotty Townsend here from the world-famous Palomino Club. Just wanted to congratulate you guys on your 100th episode, which is a massive achievement. Instead of staying 14 years out of touch, I hope you guys stay in touch. Congratulations, guys.
Follow me here for a second. Do you realize WFX could have made it? Could have survived, could have succeeded. I've been telling you Jeff Dick stories every week. Last week was that he wanted beer leaguers to play in the NHL. These are true stories. This man should write a book, a memoirs of a madman. So in 2010, when he was running WFX and One World United, or in 2011, somewhere in there. But in this, during this time, there was a scam where you bought Iraqi dinar, which is Iraqi currency, that the U.S. was supposed to revalue, and it was supposed to shoot up in value. So it might be worth pennies on the dinar, but it was going to get revalued and be like 15 or 20 times the value. So if you had $1,000 of Iraqi dinar, you would get $15,000.
Where does he come up with this?
Some guy came around the office, John Enns. You remember John Enns.
Yeah, yeah.
John Enns came around the office and he was like, do you want to buy some dinar? And I was like, I have dinner? And he was like, dinar. And I was like, is that a different word for dinner? And he was like, no, it's Iraqi currency. And I was like, what am I going to do with Iraqi currency?
What an odd question.
And he said, well, I'll tell you, in 2 weeks, that's a big the big buzz was, in 2 weeks, it's going to be worth like 15 times what you give me today. So I actually got scammed. Well, I wouldn't say I got scammed. I was skeptical. So I looked into my top drawer of my desk and I had this receipt from taking a bunch of the guys out for dinner. And I was the big shot and said, I'll buy the dinner. And it was $200. So I realized, hey, if I remit this as an expense to the office, they'll probably give me that money back on my paycheck. So I said, okay, John, I'll give you $200. What was on the receipt? Just over. So I said, okay, I'll take 200 of Iraqi dinar. Well, I had whatever, I think it worked out to like $36,000 in Iraqi dinar, and it never turned to anything. And
do you still have it?
No, Jeff Dick had it in his safe.
Oh, okay.
So
dinar.
Jeff Dick, when they finally did a search warrant, when they were closing in on him,
they found a bunch of Iraqi money.
When they opened his safe and they saw this stacks of dinar, they for a second thought, oh, we've got him. We found where he hides the money. But it was Iraqi dinar and it wasn't worth the money it was printed on. It's never been reevaluated and,
and
everyone got scammed. But you know what he almost bought? He bought something like $30,000 or $45,000 worth of Iraqi dinar. But at that time, he told me this many years later. He's like, I almost bought Bitcoin. Do you realize if he had bought Bitcoin in 2010 and he had spent $45,000 on Bitcoin, he would be a multi-billionaire. He'd have more money than Tony Khan.
Well, you know what? Maybe you, when you go on your vacation next month, go to Iraq. You have some Iraqi dinar kicking around.
My sister works at Applebee's, and I was like, if I came in with Iraqi dinar and put it down on my bill, will you accept it? She's like, no. I mean, she said somebody came in with Egyptian currency once, and they said, no, we will take American currency and Canadian currency. We will not. We're not.
Yeah. Like, what planet do you think?
Like, the guy was looking at her like, why can't you take this? It's legal tender, right?
Here's 15 Egyptian pounds.
So, like, great. You know, I get pissed off when they don't take my American Express.
Yeah, some places don't.
I get pissed off with that. Yeah, that just happened to me today in La Brokerie, Manitoba. I had to use my MasterCard. So
they were like, no, sorry, we don't do.
I always try the American Express because that's my corporate thing. And then because we're a US-based company, and then it just didn't work. So I had to go use my MasterCard, which is no big deal. But it's a piss off.
I've got a stack of dinar if you ever run into this problem.
I need an Iraqi Express, maybe.
Yeah. So that's the story. If he had put the money that he put into Iraqi dinar into Bitcoin, he would be filthy rich. And he claims, and I believe him, because he was always reading up about ways to become rich. And there was bloggers at that time talking about Bitcoin. He almost bought $30,000, $45,000 worth of Bitcoin. Like he would be filthy rich.
Oh my God.
By the way, we found your new tag team name. Iraqi Express.
Iraqi Express. I like it.
Yeah.
Iraqi dinar. All right. So WWE, I've been talking to you and you don't believe me, but I am telling you it's going to be Cody versus The Rock after WrestleMania. Anybody who believes The Rock is going to turn babyface at WrestleMania, if they do this, they are leaving mountains of money on the table. The Rock has done so much for Cody, more than Paul Heyman's been able to do for Cody, way more than Roman's been able to do for Cody.
I'm kind of tired of The Rock. I don't know about you guys.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
Like, I kind of am, you know?
Why are you tired of The Rock?
Just the same old, like, Rudy Pooh, Candy. Like, it's kind of like... It's kind of played out.
Write some new shit.
It's kind of played out.
How about that?
So you're
there is a little bit of...
So there could be a problem where Gurwitz, who's doing all the writing, is writing stuff that he knows has worked in the past, and maybe there's not a second life on it.
I also don't like the fact that Roman is very much like...
Second fiddle.
A sideshow.
Way second
like
fiddle.
Like standing in the background, and I don't really like that either.
Not for the Universal Champion.
And I get it. I get what you're trying to do with The Rock, and like you know, but I mean... Yeah.
So what ends up happening, though... They can't have Roman turn on, like, The Rock can't have a babyface run after this because he's pissed off the people.
Yeah, if he sticks around to work Cody at SummerSlam in Cleveland, then, yeah, I would say he should be a heel.
Yes.
Maybe he goes away for a while.
Well, he doesn't have to work every week after Mania. He just has to come back around May or June.
But you've talked about the law of diminishing returns, and I think after WrestleMania... People are going to be a little rocked off.
Do you think he was necessary for the storyline, though?
No.
Like, I don't think he was. I honestly was talking to Abishis about this.
Yeah.
I feel like him being in there is putting a hat on a hat again, and it's something where they could have got more return if they'd have just done Cody versus Roman and then The Rock after that. When Roman goes away, you have The Rock, and then you get the most return out of both investments.
Well, but let's call it what it was. The Rock and Roman, that's the money match.
Yeah.
That's the match that they wanted. The crowd sheezed all over it, so they had to pivot. Yeah. They had to pivot, go back to Cody, and now they're like, they have The Rock, and like, what are we going to do? Well, let's throw them this tag match.
So the fan base would not have swallowed Rock usurping Cody.
Yeah, they would have booed him out of the building, especially in Philadelphia.
So that's
as they should.
That's why they had to go to Rock as the heel, because the fans already wanted to heel him. And that's a problem for The Rock. Like, let's be honest. It will be hard to pivot him back to a babyface without him going away and going back to focus on Hollywood.
Yeah.
But I think there's equity in Rock coming out of Mania with Cody as the champion and Rock saying he's better than him. Because they won't know that he's not.
Well, and we always talk about he needs a hot heel to run with.
And I think short term, The Rock is the guy. I don't think it's going to be Logan Paul, and I don't think Gunther is there. Gunther. You know, the Gunther there. I don't think Gunther is there. I think Gunther is really good, but I don't think he's ready to be the top guy.
Not yet.
And so they've got to figure that out, is where does Cody get his next mileage out of, because I'll tell you nothing worse. Bret Hart proved it at WrestleMania 10 when he beats Yokozuna and he's the new WWF World Champion. Owen Hart was not ready to be the top heel. Yeah. Nobody believed they were going to put the belt on Owen, and Bret suffered because of it.
Yeah, 100%.
So they have to know that with Cody. If you don't have someone, it's like Stone Cold Steve Austin beat Shawn Michaels. And he didn't have a lot of good heels to run with after he won the title.
Dude, love it. Unforgiven.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, what?
Yeah, and then wasn't it Kane? And he did...
Kane at King of the Ring.
And Kane won it for one day and lost it back.
Yep.
You need to have...
Then he went to Undertaker.
Which was good.
Yep.
Yeah.
But they need to have that heel to feed to the babyface. Hulk Hogan is not Hulk Hogan in 1984, 85, 86, 87. If they didn't have a heel making machine, a certain formula of heel to wrestle with him. And that was Stud and Bundy. And then it was Andre for WrestleMania.
Even 3. Hercules, Sika, like Kamala.
I don't know about Sika, like, Kamala.
But not programs, but big heels that they were just feeding to Hogan to get Hogan heated up.
Right after he beat Iron Sheik for the title in 84, it was Masked Superstar who he works a lot of matches with. So, like, realistically, I think Hogan would have benefited in 84 of having Backlund challenge him and sort of be aggressive. Mm. And then Hogan could have beat the old champion, but they didn't need to do it.
No.
Hogan caught fire and became a mainstream superstar. The one problem they had was the money match was Piper, and then Piper wasn't going to do the job, so they couldn't do too many singles matches. Paul Orndorff was the perfect heel for Hogan before between WrestleMania 2 and WrestleMania 3 and after WrestleMania 1. So... That's what they have to think about with Cody. He's going to win the title. We saw it every time in WCW when Sting finally climbed the mountain. he wasn't as good. But when Vader won the title, every babyface was stronger because they were chasing a very, very hard heel to beat.
Did you hear the, apparently Fox was kind of pissed that The Rock used some profanity in some of his promo last week. But then Cody on USA this week said the word dick.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but USA continues in a relationship whereas Fox is getting out. I heard that, and then Dave Meltzer, who claims to know everything and is proven wrong on a lot of things.
Careful, there's a t-shirt on the wall here.
There is. But Dave Meltzer says that Fox was made aware of the script and knew where to bleep, so they couldn't have been that mad. They would have approved it.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to say. Rock is a hot-button topic. You're not going to get babyface mileage out of him, which is weird right now, but it is what it is. Is Bray Wyatt, who's recently becoming immortal, is he going into the Hall of Fame?
This year? I don't think so. I think they've kind of, capped their Hall of Fame at 5 this year. They haven't announced anybody else since Thunderbolt Patterson. That becoming immortal thing is, I think, the new Peacock special on a Bray Peacock Wyatt.
Doc.
Yeah. But you know what? Everybody talks about how great Bray Wyatt is, but like, and I don't mean to talk ill will of the dead. I'm certainly not talking ill will, but I don't get Bray Wyatt. Like, what's the big deal with him? Like, was he, they keep saying how he was such a creative guy, but like, I don't know. Like his, I'll be honest, when he came on TV, I fast forwarded every time, did not care for his promos. I liked him in NXT.
What did you think of him in the Wyatt family when he first came in?
When he was in NXT, I digged it. I thought it was pretty cool. But when he came to the main roster, I didn't like it. Like talking in rhymes and like doing this stupid accent.
See, I like that. I like the original, like the Wyatt family model.
That was cool.
That was good. I like that when they started
rocking
doing
chair,
that.
Rocking chair and they had exactly. Luke Harper.
And the promos were you know, just enough that you're like, I'm not fully sure what he's saying, but I don't.
So when he did the supernatural stuff.
The fiend stuff was dumb.
That's the problem I had, and it wasn't for me. The supernatural stuff just wasn't for me.
Yeah. He's going to be remembered big time because he died young. Like, you know, there's always a legend around people who die before their time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just that's a reality. And it doesn't mean that he wasn't going to be legendary. But I think in the grander scheme of things, if you prorate his career to a full career, he's nowhere near The Undertaker. He's nowhere near Kane. He's, in terms of iconic characters, he's nowhere near Mankind.
No.
So, you know, that kind of tells you he's not in the upper tier for character-driven, you know, icons.
I guess he was just thought of very highly for his creativity backstage. Now, where that translated, the character didn't do anything for me. Maybe I'm missing something, but
he also has the lineage of being Mulligan's grandson.
Yeah.
Rotundo's son.
What about Bo Dallas? Where's he? What's he doing? He's still under contract.
They just kind of iced him for a while. I don't know if they're going to ever do anything with him.
I have my doubts.
I keep hearing things like, oh, they've got something for him, but that, you never hear
I wish
anything.
They would.
I mean, that Bo leave thing was funny in NXT. I thought it was funny.
Everything from NXT they ruined. They have no idea how to bring somebody up and continue a story.
Well, like, they're better
same thing
now.
With Elias.
They're better now.
Elias was doing The Wanderer in NXT, and that was super good. Super good. They bring him up to the roster. He's a jobber.
Yeah, well, same thing with Adrian Neville and all these guys. But, you know, Bron Breakker, he's going to be a big star.
Yes, he is.
You know, I mean, that'll be a good
one. He's going to need more flavor. Either his promo is going to have to become better, or they're going to have to put him in a tag.
I think his presentation needs to be better.
He's good. Like, his fundamentals, his mechanics are amazing.
Yeah.
But he's going to need something, or he's going to get middle of the pack status pretty fast.
Carmelo Hayes, very good, great character, but small. Trick Williams, who they're facing at Stand and Deliver, coming up here pretty soon on WWE Network. I mean, he's getting some crazy pops, but he's not ready for the main roster yet. So they have a lot in the pipeline. Their women's division in NXT is stacked, like Sol Ruka, Nikita Lyons, like Kiana James, Fallon Henley. Like, I don't know if you guys watch NXT, but
I catch it here and there.
Yeah.
The women they have down there, man, the future is very bright for the women.
Okay, I want to ask you guys something. We talked about The Rock. How much is The Rock hurting LA Knight right now?
Man, he did a promo on SmackDown, and like, man, I just saw Stone Cold and The Rock in, like, I just see it in him.
Yeah,
and now, that's good when they're not on the show.
Yeah, but and I know it's not fair to LA Knight because that's just how he talks. That's what he does.
He's been like that in every promotion he's been in.
Yeah,
like TNA, LA Knight, whenever Eli Drake and NWA and TNA.
Yeah,
same thing, same deal, same shit.
And there's nothing that says you can't talk. Like in the late 90s, Rock, Austin, you know, there was other talkers that could talk like. you know, I nothing jumps out at me, but mm-hmm. there was other guys that could talk that were part of the, you know, the upper echelon. Like at that time, Foley was a good talker. Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho was considered in that elite talking group. So it's, he's kind of, it's, if it buries him, it's going to suck because he was on the cusp 6 months ago.
I think
I thought he might upstage Cody before Mania.
I think they're just not cooling him down, but I think they're just kind of, they've put him into neutral right now.
That's exactly right. But I think it is hurting him having The Rock there because the promo style is so similar. I think if The Rock's not there, maybe he's the guy who turns heel at Mania and is the guy that chases Cody for a while.
I don't see it.
Just chases. But I'm not saying wins it. Chases as a hot heel who can cut a promo.
That's one of the good matches that I'm really looking forward to is LA Knight, AJ Styles.
Because
LA Knight is going to have to like up his game.
Yeah.
Like, and AJ will carry him to a match. But that match, I am really, really looking forward to that match.
I think AJ Styles deserves one more run on top. He's getting up there.
Yeah.
So it's like
46 in June.
Yeah. So unless he's going to have
47, actually,
unless he's going to have him and Seth Rollins would be a great program near the top. Him and Cody would be a great program on top. So maybe that's the guy you go with, one of those two guys coming out of Mania and going to
Orton?
SummerSlam.
Orton's another one.
Yeah.
Man, Orton is good.
Yeah.
God, is still he doesn't, good. And still ageless. Like
he is so good.
Yeah.
I just, oh man, I just love watching Randy Orton.
Yeah. You think about the depth of their talent. Like,
doesn't make sense.
And then you look at AEW as a counterpart and it's like, they have a struggle. I like what they did with Okada, putting the belt, having him beat Eddie Kingston right away, established that you're going to, and I think they should cling to the fact that they're paying this guy nearly $5 million a year and talk about how he's a big deal so that the North American audience that's not quite caught up to him understands, hey, if he's getting paid $5 million, he's something special.
Ospreay, same thing.
Exactly.
Mercedes Moné, same thing.
Get the new talent over.
Like these are the new pillars now for AEW.
And they're high-priced pillars.
Yep.
But that also means that it takes the pressure off getting Omega back from diverticulitis. It means that you can get MJF back into the mix at some point if he's going to be there.
And Swerve is still there.
Swerve, they got to do, like, not putting Swerve over for the title against Samoa Joe was a big mistake because now he's going to miss his opportunity. He's going to miss his chance. And then he's going to end up like Hangman Page, where his chance is right there. If he pins Samoa Joe, it's then him and Ospreay. And Ospreay can be a heel and Swerve can be the baby face. They don't go there. And now he's going to be in that middle. He's going to get lost in the shuffle. They only have one heavyweight title to give. And having it tied up with Joe this whole time means that they lose the opportunity to make a guy because Joe being champion doesn't make him. He's already made.
Yeah, he doesn't need it.
It's not, Joe is better now because year 25 in his career, he's now the All Elite Wrestling heavyweight champion. That does nothing for Joe or any of the roster. But getting it to a young guy who then can be at that level so they don't have to keep going back to Moxley, so that they don't have, like, they're going to eventually go to Ospreay, and then hopefully, if they're smart,
keep it on
Ospreay should be the guy that gets a one-year title run. And beats
or longer.
And beats the best of the best in their company, goes to Japan and defends it and wins, and has five-star match. When it's not a five-star match, it stands out, right? But that's what they have to do. And then the people that underground following that got behind them at the beginning will come back to them.
Speaking of matches that stand out, did you guys watch Adam Copeland and Christian Cage from Dynamite?
I did.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Really, really good.
Unbelievable.
Yes, and
these guys are doing some great work.
Two guys in their 50s, or I think Adam's 50, and Jay is probably just under 50, but two guys very in the twilight of their career, and that's, they're established stars.
Yeah.
And now Edge is the TNT champion. Mm-hmm. They really missed the boat with Edge when they got him.
I think this was the blow off though.
Yes.
In Toronto, in their hometown.
At the beginning of this story, when he comes in, if he stares down MJF, AEW is in a different place today.
Keep in mind this whole Adam Copeland, Christian Cage thing. He debuted at WrestleDream in October. It's only March.
Yeah.
Like that's like,
so what? They did a six-month program.
Six-month program. Like, you're telling me you couldn't have made this last longer?
Yeah.
Or got to it later and made it last longer?
Yeah.
Six months, it's over and done?
See, if they had had Edge come in, Adam Copeland come in and stare down MJF, and have him have the title match and have Christian stop him from winning because he couldn't stand the thought of his TNT title not being as important as Edge, his brother, basically, winning the better title. Mm-hmm. So he blocks him. So then Edge then reroutes and goes after the TNT title. Then they could go into this story better than the way they went into it. And you would have stole a house with Copeland versus MJF. MJF would have been a stronger champion. Their business would be better today. It was three
good shows in a row for Dynamite, though. The last 3 weeks have been good.
But their TV numbers haven't.
TV numbers have not been good. Collision, because they aired it, because it's from Canada, aired in Canada late at night. It was late because tennis went late, so if you didn't set your PVR for extra time. But Collision is like basically Rampage. It's a complete throwaway show.
Yeah.
It was horrible. Rampage this week, this is the most hilarious thing. So Adam Copeland and Christian Cage go late in their match. It goes long. So then Rampage begins right after on TSN in Canada here where we are. And now they're changing the ring because there's blood all over the ring. There's gimmicks all over the ring. So they start off Rampage with the Bullet Club Gold. They're at the pool basically saying, oh, we're not coming to Toronto, blah, blah, blah. It's basically saying Toronto's, you're not worth my time. Then the Acclaimed come out to no rap. They don't do a rap. Now, we know they're doing this because they're changing the ring over.
Yeah.
But, I mean, talk about starting a show completely cold.
Yeah. How are you going to get...
What are you guys
not
doing?
Not going to get any steam at all.
Like, if you're there in Toronto, it's like 10:15 at night, Eastern time. Like, I'm like, it's 10:15.
Yeah,
like,
they're just dead, talking. Tired.
Like, I'm out of here. See you later.
Exactly. Ugh.
Terrible, Tony.
So they miss certain things there, obviously. We know. In Winnipeg... They're
May 1st.
Just going to get to 3,000 tickets in the next week. They're 2,900 and change.
But they've been like just stuck at that number, right?
Well, and they're gradually dropping the ticket price. Like, it's
holy.
Like, God. I thought they were going to break $3,000 by now, but they.
Wow. And we're getting close now. Yeah. We're almost inside a month.
Yeah.
And their business, let's call it the way it is.
Have you got your tickets?
No.
Have you got your tickets?
I'm not worried about it.
I mean, I'm not worried about it either.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that tells you something. Like,
if you're asking me if I'm paying for tickets, the answer is no.
No. We don't pay for
you
tickets.
You might be paying to watch me there.
Really?
You never know.
Well, I'm not paying. I don't pay for tickets for wrestling shows, but yeah.
You never know.
Mecca Shane Madison says that as he's wearing an AEW hoodie. Believe me, I want AEW hotter than hell.
Yep.
I want it hotter than WWE in some ways. The better the better they are, the better it is for everybody else. How about TNA? What's going on there?
TNA. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I had TNA set on my PVR.
Yep.
It's not recording anymore. So I don't know what's going on with the game show TV.
Is it still showing?
I don't know. I don't know if it's on anymore.
It's like Collision or whatever where you kind of get it sometimes.
Yeah, you don't get the Fight Network, do you?
No. Well, I mean, I do now because I have IPTV, so I get all those channels, but you can't record off of IPTV, so I'm never watching it live.
Yep.
So I don't know what's going on TNA. I can confirm, though, with TNA that TNA will be coming to Canada for a pay-per-view, not in Winnipeg, but they will be making a debut in a market yet to be announced for a big pay-per-view in the next few months. So stay tuned.
In Canada. To do really good in Canada, they need a little bit better TV, but I think they may have a plan, and let's hope they do. One thing I forgot to mention in the first segment, how about WPW and something they did? They've got Matt Cardona, and rather than put Matt Cardona against somebody like, say, Tyler Colton, or they booked him in a dream match against Josh Alexander that I think will...
Everybody wants to see that.
Exactly. Like,
all over the world, people would want to see that.
And match. I think maybe that means that they plan to distribute... I don't know. But maybe they're planning on just... They're going to have tape of it, so maybe they're going to distribute it later. I know that they put out everything on YouTube. Maybe they think it'll be a YouTube dream and go viral and really take off for them. But I'm excited about that. It's going to be great.
That's at the museum on April the 28th, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes. And I want to thank all the people who have taken the time to send us well wishes for our 100th episode. You know, we love doing it. And we...
Andre the Giant sent us well wishes.
And we had shirts. We're already out of mediums.
Yeah.
We're pretty much out of extra large. I think I'm out of large. We have one 3XL. I had to get a 5X for our friend, the Axe.
And there's a new model coming out.
There is a new model coming out because we did this to see what the market was. And I was amazed. Like, people wanted their Bees She's Wrestling shirts. So stay tuned. Next week, we're going to release a new shirt in episode 101. It will be the second of our series of Bees She's shirts. And it's time for the Mies Bees.
Welcome. You've got mail.
Dose questions in the mailbag this week. Dose questions. One of them an audio question, which we always love to have. You can get yours on by going to our Twitter or X, if you will. You can go to our Instagram and you can go to our Facebook, Bees, She's, Wrestling, TotalBeeshees at gmail.com if you want to email it in. And the audios, please, keep those beauties coming.
I love the audios.
Let's go to our first one.
Do you guys think that WPW could fill up a small arena, like let's say like a local, like West Kildonan or, you know, Central, something like that? Do you think they have enough fan base to fill up a small arena?
All right, that was DJ Respect Black with that question, and the answer is pretty simple. Yes, 1,000%.
Yep, I agree.
They can draw 1,000 people right now. They could have done it with Cardona versus Alexander. They're in a 600-seat venue that they sold out in 85 minutes. They know they could have done a bit bigger. They love the venues they run because there's a certain profile to it, and it looks a certain way, which makes their presentation better for the people in attendance.
A better question would be, do you think WPW can run a show without selling out?
Well,
I don't think it could be done.
It's a relationship they've got with their fan base, that the fan base supports them big time. Hey, the Winnipeg Jets used to have this with 15,000 people, and now they're down to about 12,500 or 13,000 fans.
And you can get Pinfall Pilsner, by the way.
Is it officially available?
It is available, and I'm going to go out of my way to... go and grab some. So
I can't wait to try it. We might drink it by the pool this summer.
Maybe episode 101. We should have a Pinfall Pilsner.
Yes, but the answer is simple. They could sell out a mid-sized. I think that they're at a point right now where 1,000 to 1,500 they could do.
Yeah.
Maybe, like I said, that they could probably smash the Eddie Guerrero standard, which was PCW's commencement of Cool. They do so many things right. And that's when you... When you have so many winning efforts, show after show after show, fans begin to have so much faith in you. So I think that they could definitely do it in a bigger venue.
All right, there we go. Asked and answered. And this one coming in from Jay to our email, totalbeeshees@gmail.com.
Jay,
if you were selecting this year's Hall of Fame, what's one person that would have to go in? That's a really good question.
I assume he means the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I would imagine that's the only Hall of Fame we're really talking about. A little Cauliflower Hour. Cauliflower Alley is a pretty good Hall of Fame.
Okay. Ooh. I got mine.
You go ahead. Mike looks like he's pondering.
Pondering. Okay. Right off the bat, 100%, without a doubt, first name that comes to mind, Rick Martel. Should be in. Should have been in a long time ago.
Long time ago.
Successful in the AWA, successful in WWE, had a little run in WCW, but 100% should be in without a shadow of a doubt.
Love Rick Martel.
Okay, and I'm choosing a tag team because they do that, or a group rather, Midnight Express with James Cornette.
100%.
They got to be in there. They should have been in there before Bobby Eaton passed away, as far as I'm concerned. I would have loved to see Bobby Eaton, you know, in that position. I think he should have been there.
So the obvious answer for me is Demolition. They belong there, and they're not, and I don't know why.
Well, there was a big lawsuit over them, like, a few years ago. Big, big lawsuit.
What was it about? Tell me what...
I think it was royalties or figures or something like that.
Okay. Well, they belong there. And
yeah, 100%.
And then is Paul Bearer in there?
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. His son, yeah, because I remember his son did the impression.
Davey Boy Smith belongs in there.
Yep.
100%. And you say Jim Cornette belongs in there?
Just the whole Midnight Express as a group, I think, belongs. But Jim Cornette could be in there by himself, I think.
Is Playboy Buddy Rose in the Hall of Fame? I think he is.
He isn't. Well, I have the whole list up here.
Pull it up. If Buddy Rose is not in there, that's my dark horse.
Yeah,
I would not be surprised.
Pete Rose is in there.
No. Yeah.
That's the wrong Rose.
Let me see here. Buddy Rose. I do not see him. I'm on 2008 right now.
Well, sorry for being obscure, but Playboy Buddy Rose belongs in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he had a great career out in the
Pacific Northwest. Yep. And then he was, if it wasn't for Buddy Rose and Doug Summers, the Midnight Rockers might not have been that hot babyface team in the AWA. So... Yeah, that's my answer. You know, so that's the mailbag. I would like to go to the event center.
This is your Beeshees Wrestling Event Center. We start in British Columbia. Friday, March 29th, Dusk Pro Wrestling is in Vancouver. Saturday, March 30th, Boom Pro Wrestling is in Vancouver. We move to Alberta. Thursday, March 26th, Wild Rose Sports Association comes to Calgary. Thursday, March 28th, Love Wrestling is in Edmonton. Friday, March 29th, Love Wrestling is in Edmonton. Friday, March 29th, Can-Am Wrestling is in Olds. Friday, March 29th, Dungeon Wrestling is in Calgary. Saturday, March 30th, Real Canadian Wrestling comes to Edmonton. And Saturday, March 30th, Can-Am Wrestling is in Brooks. We move to Saskatchewan. Saturday, March 30th, Best Entertainment Wrestling comes to Warman. And finally, into Manitoba. Wednesday, March 27th, Primo's Wrestling is in Blood Vein First Nation. Friday, March 29th, Canadian Wrestling's Elite comes to Winnipeg. And Saturday, March 30th, Canadian Wrestling's Elite is in Landmark. And that has been your Beeshees Wrestling Event Center.
I come here for one reason. That is to wish everyone at the Beeshees Show a giant congratulations on 100 episodes.
Hey guys, this is Uncle Lightning Dick at the Ive Gibson, the number one Robert Gibson and only Robert Gibson parody on X, formerly known as Twitter. Unless you're Mike Davidson, who apparently doesn't install important updates on his phone. Just want to say congratulations on 100 episodes of the Total Beeshees Show. It's definitely become a part of my Monday morning commute. And I don't know who Jay Rockne is, but I would really want to hear this story that Shane Madison's been talking about. So if you can get to that story, that'd be great. Congratulations again. 100 episodes is a pretty big deal. Take care.
It's Jay Rockne going into episode 100. I just want to say to the Beeshees, what the absolute fees. If I have to listen to Mecca tease a story about fangirling in a grocery store asking for my autograph for another 100 episodes, I'm going to lose my effing mind. All jokes aside, though, congratulations on 100. Looking forward to the next 100. Good work, guys.
That was an amazing event center. Thank you, Mecca, Shane Madison, and Jay Rockne, of all people. Thank you for the congratulations on the 100th episode. I need to know, people, it's the number one thing people ask me about is, what is the Jay Rockne story? Mecca, Shane Madison, what is the Jay Rockne story?
You're putting me on the spot? Finally?
Yes. Yes. Tell the story.
I'm going to tell you. You two motherfuckers. I've been trying to tell this f***ing story for the last 30 f***ing years.
Yeesh.
30 f***ing shows, and you guys keep cutting me off every single time.
Okay, so now
this f***ing story I've been trying to tell you guys.
Okay, so tell it now.
You guys want to know what the story is?
Yes.
Yeah. The Jay Rockne story.
Yes.
For 30 episodes I've been talking about.
We all want to know. Everybody listening wants to know.
Can you tell it without swearing?
Okay, what is it?
To be honest with you?
Yes.
I did have a very funny story about Jay Rockne. And now, I forget. I don't know what it is.
Oh.
And I feel like, you know, in wrestling, there has to be a payoff. There has to be a payoff for this big thing. And now, I'm sorry to disappoint the fans, but there's no payoff to this. I can't remember what the story is. But it is a good story.
You're killing me.
It's a good story.
Gosh, I hope you remember it someday.
All right. I will remember it. And when I do remember it, I will make sure to make mention of it here. But well, that is the biggest.
Seeing as you killed the payoff.
I did kill the payoff.
Let me try to save it.
Admittedly.
Oh, there is a big name coming to town.
For who?
May 16th for Wrestling United.
Do we need a drum roll?
Thursday Night Wrestling from All Elite Wrestling. All Ego, Ethan Page is coming to Winnipeg, and we're going to tell you who he wrestles next week on Beeshees Wrestling.